we're doing the Gila, and we're up to Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara had been telling us how different Amoraim introduced their teaching of Purim. Rabbi Elazar, the famous Rabbi Elazar, disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar, Pasach Lapischola, Parsho, Sameyocha. We're holding five lines from where the lines get wide. Rabbi Elazar, when he began the parsha, he began with the following. It says in the pasuk, "Ba'atzaltai mimacha mikarev, shaflut yaday midlof habayit." Ba'atzaltai mimacha mikarev. So he explained it as a play on words. He says, "Ba'atzaltai" comes from the word atzlut. B'shvil atzlut shayalem neYisrael shelo asku b'Torah, because of Israel's laziness, they weren't dealing enough in Torah. Na'asas soneo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yimach hamikare, yimach comes from the word mach. Mach means like impoverished. V'chi yomucho chicho, hamikare. So he's deriving it like it means the one who laid the ceiling, the one who lay out the heavens. So Hashem is the one who spread out the heavens. So because we were lazy, ba'atzaltayim, because of our laziness in dealing in Torah, na'asa soneo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God's enemy, which is a way of saying God, but he doesn't want to say God. He's about to say something derogatory, so he doesn't want to say it about God. He says God's enemy, but it really means he's going to talk about God. God's enemy becomes mach, impoverished, weakened. Then mach el ani, mach really means impoverished. And Emal's the verse says the machume, impoverished, poor. Yimach will be became impoverished. Ba'atzaltayim yimach hamikare. Mach means poor. Shneimar, the verse says, ve'im machu meyarkecha. And if he's poorer than your evaluation, mach over there means poor. Ve'in mekare la'kadosh baruch hu. Mekare means the one who lays out the ceiling, and that's the God. Shneimar, the verse says, hamkarev amayim aliyotav. God uses water to make his upper room, so to speak, give them ceiling. So the ceiling God makes is water, and that's the heavens. God lays out that ceiling. So ba'atzaltayim, because of our laziness, yimach hamikare, the one who lay out the ceilings, God became, so to speak, impoverished. Because look at what happened. His people were taken, and it looks like Haman's in control. Whenever the wicked take control, it's as though God becomes a melech evyon, an impoverished king. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Posach Lapischo Leo Parsho Someyocho. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok began from here. Shir HaMa'alos, a song that was sung on the steps of the temple. Lulei Hashem Shaya Lanu Yomana Yisrael. If not for God, if God would only be for us, says Israel. Lulei Hashem Shaya Lanu Bekum Aleinu Adam. If God wouldn't be for us when man has arisen above us. When is it that men tried to take down the Jewish people? Usually we're attacked by a king. This chapter in Tehillim is talking about Adam Melo Melech. When a mere mortal tried to take us down, that's Haman, not even the king. So he began the parsha saying this Shir HaMa'alos is a reference for that. That God is the only thing that saved us when man tried to take us down. Man is a reference to Haman. Rova Pasach Lepisola Parshoso. Because Haman wasn't the king. Ordinarily, in Jewish history, it was kings that tried to take us down. It was whole kingdoms. Rava pasach lapischo leho parshoso meyocho. Rava began the story of Purim. He began this parsha from here. It says in the pasuk, Birvot tzadikim yismacham uvimshol rashaya anacham. Birvot tzadikim rav in Tanakh means great. When the tzaddik becomes the rav, the great one, birvot tzaddikim, when tzaddikim are elevated, when they're exalted, yismacham, the nation is happy. Uvimshol rasha, but when a wicked one takes rule, yeyanacham, then the nation sighs. Birvot tzaddikim yismacham, zemodchai v'ester. When the tzaddikim take control, the nation is happy. That's a reference to Mordechai and Esther. Dichtiv va'il shushan tzahala v'sameicha. As the verse says, that when Mordechai took control, Mordechai and Esther, the city of Shushan was rejoicing. They were happy. Uvimshol rashaya nacham. When the wicked take rule, then the nation sighs. Zehaman dichtiv va'il shushan navocha. The verse says the city of Shushan was in sorrow. Rav Masna Amar Meihacha, Rav Masna says the derivation is from here. Ki mi goy gadol asholo elokim kirovim elav. Who is this great nation that has God close to them whenever they call out to him? That's where you start the parsha of the Megillah. Now, look at the messages here. What is the Megillah teaching us? Where do you start when you look at the Megillah? Some people say you start with the destruction of the temple. Some people say you start with what happens when the Jews aren't united. Some people say you start with having a queen that's on your side, get some politicians on your side. No one said that here. No one said that. The rabbi said, no, look at how God controls who's going to be in control. Tachat anatzutzia leverosh. The rabbi said, what do you look? You look at the pasuk, it says God pre-prophesized. V'santichisi ve'elam, God was controlling it. It wasn't Haman that ran the show then. God already said this is what's going to happen. Some of the rabbis said, God gave us kindness before the kings. When you start the Megillah, be prepared to look in the Megillah, the kindness that God saved our lives at the hands of the Persian kings. Rav Hanina Bar Papa said, look at how God let a human take us down here. Kapte enosh l'roshenu. Rav Yochanan said, look at how God remembers his faith with the Jewish people, his kindness with the Jewish people. That's the salvation we're going to see here. Look at how they viewed the Megillah. Where do you start? Rabbi Lezer says you start with when we were lazy in Torah, look at where it brought us. And now we just saw a quote of Nahum Bar Yitzchak said, the Shir HaMalos, David already said that if not for God, where would we be? When man tried to take us down, God showed us that the only solution is Hashem. Rava taught us now, when he started, I don't know why this is so important, but when he started, he'd say, you see, the one who's, when the tzaddikim are up, everyone's happy. When the rasham are up, everyone's sad. Rav Masna said, look at what a great nation that God is close to them when they call out to him. Rav Ashi Omer Mehocha, we've reached the last generations of Amoram. We pointed out that it seems to be going in chronological order. Rav Ashi says from here, O Anisa Elokim, or as any other potent being made such miracles to take a nation out from within a nation. So God took us out from within the nation of the Persians. Vayehi bimei Achashverosh. Now we're starting the Megillah. Vayehi bimei Achashverosh. Omar Rav. Rav taught. Vay vehai. The word vayehi, you remember we saw earlier, is woe. Vay vehai. Now it's being fulfilled. Adad eftiv, it's being fulfilled that which the Torah says. V'itmakartim sham lo yivecha la'avadim v'lishvachot v'en koneh. There you will be sold by your enemies for slaves and maids, and no one will want to buy you. When the decree of Haman came true, when the decree of Haman was signed, we couldn't even sell ourselves as slaves. They wanted us dead. We'd say, well, do whatever you want, just don't kill us. No, all we want is you dead. That's the curse. Hashem says, you don't keep the Torah, v'itmakatem shan. They'll try to sell you, no one's buying. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, lo me'astim ve'lo galtim lechalotam. The pasuk says, ve'af gamzos, at the end of all the rebuke, Hashem says, and you gotta pay attention. Even when I kicked you out, and even when you were suffering, I never was completely disgusted with you. I never was completely revolted with you to wipe you out. Lo me'astim, I wasn't disgusted b'mei yivanim, in the days of the Greeks. Ve'lo galtim, and I wasn't completely revolted with you b'mei Nebuchadnezzar. Lechalotam, I never let you be completely annihilated b'mei haman. Lafer brititam, I never agreed to annul my covenant with them. That's a reference. B'mei parsim, in the days of the Persians. Ki'ani Hashem Elohim, God says, for I am Hashem, their God. Even if they sin, even if I punish them. At the end of the day, I remain Hashem, their God. They are my people and I am theirs. Even after all the punishments Hashem prophesizes. B'mei Gog u'Magog, in the days of Gog u'Magog. B'matnita tono. In the Braisa it says like this, Lo me'astim b'mei kasdim. Shemati lehem Daniel Hanani Mishael v'Azariah. We know that the nations that came to take us down came in pairs. So the Babylonians came with the kasdim. So in the days of the custom, God says, I wasn't disgusted with them. I gave them great leaders. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Loga, Altim, I wasn't revolted with them. Mimei, Vanim, the days of the Greeks, together with the Macedonians. Shemati Laem, Shimon HaTzadik, V'chashmonei Uvanav, V'matityahu Kohen Gadol. I gave them great leaders. Shimon HaTzadik. Oh, no rainbow in his days. What a tzaddik. Chashmonoi and his sons. Who's the Chashmonoi? Yochanan, I guess. And Matityahu Kohen Gadol. Lechalosam. I didn't agree to wipe them out. That's a reference. Bimei Haman. Shemati lehem Mordechai v'Esther. Every generation had their giants. Lafel Briti. I did not annul my covenant with them. Lafel Briti. Tam bimei Persiim. That's a reference to the days of the Persians. Shemati lehem Shebet Rebi v'Chachmei Dorot. In the days of the Persians, God gave us Rebbe and the sages. Ki ani Hashem Elohim, la'atid lavo, Hashem says, I am Hashem, their God, in the future, she'en kol umav lashon yichola lishlot b'hem. No nation, no tongue will be able to take control of them. Rebbe Levi Omar Meyocho, Rebbe Levi was crippled because he tried to illustrate to Rebbe how you bow. What's the bowing of the Torah? Rebbe Levi says the source is from here. The Torah warns us. Hashem says, and if you do not inherit the inhabitants of the land, if you do not conquer the land of Israel completely, Hashem warns, V'ayach asher dimiti la'asot lahem, what I thought to do to them, eseh lachem, I will do to you. So, why did we have such problems with Amalek, with Haman? Because back when we had our first king, Shaul, God told him, go wipe out the nemesis of the Jewish people. In this world, there's one people that wants to annihilate the Jews. Amalek. Wipe out to the core. And Shaul did not listen. He decided he would be compassionate. And that's why the Megillah keeps calling Haman Ha-Agogi, Haman, all the way back to Agog, that king that Shaul said, I'll leave him around. Well, one king will kill him later. They had a little bit of mercy over him. And we see it came back to haunt us. 100%.
Nothing with the sands of Shaul.
Oh, we'll get there right now. Excellent. So, says the Gemara. So, he started from the beginning of the pasuk. Rabbi Chiya, we all know the name of Rabbi Chiya. We discussed the stories. Gdolim Ma'aseh Chiya. His educational practice. He'd go out and teach the children. He'd capture animals, feed the meat to the poor, to the orphans, take the hides, write on them the five books of the Torah, teach the different children, and then teach each child one book, and then tell them to teach one another. Take six children, teach each child one order of Mishnah, then tell them to teach one another. The great Rabbi Chiya, come on guys, you don't know. Rabbi Chiya couldn't pronounce things correctly. Hey, we didn't tell stories about Rabbi Chiya. All the time, Rabbi Chiya. He was a disciple of Rabbi. Rabbi Chiya.
Where you need to identify names with faces.
So I tell you stories. You paint the faces. Rabbi Chiya couldn't pronounce things correctly. He met Rabbi's son and said, "How could you? You know, you have a problem with being a chazan." Rabbi said, "You have a problem with being a chazan. You can't pronounce things correctly." And then one time there was a drought and it was Rosh Chodesh, and Rebbe was giving shiur, and Eliyahu walked into shiur, and Rebbe said, why are you late? So Eliyahu said, I had to go to the Marisah Machpelah, I bring up Avram, I wash Negelvasser, he davens, I put him back to sleep, I pick up Sarah, I pick up each of the Avos, Yitzchak, I wash his Negelvasser, he davens, then I put him back to sleep, then Yaakov. So Rebbe says, come on, that's no excuse, why don't you bring them all up at once? Eliyahu says, well, if they'd all come up at once, then Mashiach would come. Wow. And I guess Hashem doesn't want that now. They'd all daven at once. So, Rebbe asks him, is anyone around of that stature in our generation? So Eliyahu says, yeah, Rebbe Chiya and his kids. If they daven, what they say goes. So what do you think Rebbe did? The next morning he says to Rebbe Chiya and his sons, you guys lead the prayer. We have to have rain. So they get up there and they start davening and they say, Mashiv Aruah, suddenly there are winds. Morid HaGoshem starts pouring rain. They're about to hit Mechayim Mason. What's going to happen then? So Eliyahu is sent. You've made all this trouble, Eliyahu. You give away the secrets. Eliyahu is sent dressed up like a bear to scatter the crowds in the middle of davening. Break up the davening. So they wouldn't get to Mechayim Mason.
Such,
You weren't there that day? Okay, where were you? Come to class. I tell these stories all the time. This story is in Baba Metzia. So Rabbi Chia, brings a lot of them together. So the great Rabbi Chia, when they had a question, who should be the Nasi, they said, Gedolim Maasei Chia. Chia does such great tzidkos, we can't stop him from that. And from there, Rabbi Feinstein derives that even an elementary school teacher, if he could be a big Talmud Chacham, he's going to be a much different elementary school teacher than someone who doesn't know more. And that's why they didn't disrupt Rabbi Chia. They didn't say, well, someone else could teach the kids Chumash. Because the way Rabbi Chia taught it, no one else could teach it, obviously. So Rabbi Chia, as they said, he got to keep teaching the kids. He's not going to be Nasi. Rabbi Chia, when Rabbi got upset at him, he said, Iya, go see what's outside. Chia went outside and saw there was no one outside. He understood Rabbi was upset. He stayed outside. We never heard these stories, guys. So he understood Rabbi was upset at him. He didn't walk back in. God wanted to make things better. He sent Elio in the form of Rabbi Chia, looking just like Rabbi Chia. And Rabbi had a toothache for years, ever since he spoke improperly to the cat. So Elio walks in, puts his hand on Rabbi's mouth, and walks out. And Rabbi feels healed. Wow, what medicine they just got me. Rabbi Chia, he sends word, bring him back. He cured me. They send word to Rabbi Chia. He sees Rabbi Chia doesn't come to Beis Medrash that day. The next morning he sends word, why, what's happening? Why don't you come? So Rabbi Chia says, well, I knew you were upset at me, so I didn't come. He says, sure, I was upset at you, but after you cured me yesterday, of course I want you back. So Rabbi Chia says, I cured you, I didn't do anything. So then Rabbi understood it wasn't Rabbi Chia, it was Elio, and the former Rabbi Chia. So that's how God had Rabbi Chia brought back into the academy after Rabbi was upset at him. Okay, back to our Gemara. So Rabbi Chia, now we're reading about the great Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia, Omar Me'och, it says in the Pasuk, the end of the Pasuk, if you don't get rid of the enemies from the land of Israel, what I thought to do to them, I'll do to you. Okay, so we started the Megillah, and now we're going in the order of the Megillah, and we're continuing, Ahashveirosh. What kind of name is that? It goes back to, we didn't take him out. We didn't get rid of Amalek. So God says, you didn't annihilate them. Then I'll put you in threat of annihilation.
Will this apply today with our enemies?
Excellent question. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Achashveirosh, Omar Rav. Achashveirosh, Achiv Shel Rosh. He is the brother of the head. Who's the head? Who's the head? Daniel sees, not Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar sees a vision of a great idol. The idol has a head and a chest and an arm and a feet and a thigh and a toes, and the different parts of the idol that he sees represent the different kingdoms that will rule the world. And the head is Nebuchadnezzar. He is the head of the idol that he saw. So Achashverosh is the brother of the head, Uven Gilosh Rosh, and he is of the same mazel, had the same thoughts as the head. Okay. Achiv Shel Rosh, he's the brother of the head. Achiv Shel Nebuchadnezzar Rasha. He's the brother of Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked, Shenikra Rosh. You see, he's called the head. Shenemar, as it says, when Daniel interprets the dream for Nebuchadnezzar, he says, Ant hu reisha didava. You are, in that dream, you saw a golden head on the idol. You are that golden head, Nebuchadnezzar. Uven Gilosh Rosh, he had the same thoughts as that head. Hu harag, hu bikesh laog. Nebuchadnezzar murdered Jews. Achashverosh wanted to murder Jews. Hu echriv, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple. Hu bikesh laachriv. And Achashverosh wanted to destroy, because before, prior to Achashverosh's reign, Zerubbabel had ascended and laid the foundations for rebuilding the second temple. And then when Achashverosh became king, Haman's children sent word back to Achashverosh telling him, if you let them rebuild the temple, they're preparing to rebel against you. And then Achashverosh, in the beginning of his reign, said, stop, no more building the temple. Achashverosh wanted to destroy the temple. Hu echriv, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed. Hu bikesh lachriv, Achashverosh wanted to destroy. Shneimar, as the verse says, malchut Achashverosh bitchilat malchuto. The pasuk is describing in the book of Ezra the procession of advancing the building of the temple. They lay the foundations, and in the kingdom of Achashverosh, in the beginning of his reign, Katevu Sitnal Yoshvei Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, they wrote words of hatred against the Jews of Judea, the Jews of Jerusalem, and they convinced him to bring the work of the temple to a halt. So that's what we just explained. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, why was he called Achashverosh? Rav said what we just said. Shmuel says, Shmuel was a great doctor. Shmuel was a great astronomer. Shmuel. Oh, the great Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel throughout Chas, the first generation of Amoraim. Halacha ki Rav be Isurei. In Isurim, the halacha is like Rav. Halacha ki Shmuel be Mamonos. Monetary matters. So Shmuel says, Shmuel was Rebbe's doctor. Shmuel used to master the sky. It says he knew the sky as well as he knew all the shortcuts in town. He knew to tell you when would be a new moon, when you'd see Halley's Comet, when you'd see everything. He was a master of medicine, master of the sky as well. He used to be able to taste the water and tell you what was going on out deep in sea. He used to be able to see... Rebbe had an eye infection, some kind of bad infection in his eye. So Shmuel said, here, Rebbe, use this medicine. Rebbe said, it hurts so bad, I can't put the medicine on. So Shmuel said, okay, rub it around your eye. So Rebbe said, it hurts so bad, I can't rub it around my eye. So Shmuel said, okay, so I'll give you a, put it in a pillow. He says, it hurts so bad, I can't put it in a pillow. So Shmuel said, okay, I'll put it in a special vessel. You'll put under your pillow, and then at night it'll seep through all that into your eye. And he cured Rebbe. Shmuel cured Rebbe. Rebbe wanted to make him into a rabbi. Okay, Shmuel Amar. That's when we learn other Gemara. Shmuel Amar. So Shmuel says, why is he called Achashverosh? Shushchu p'neim sheYisrael b'yamav kishulek terah. The Jews' faces turned black, like the bottom of a pot. Like the bottom of a pot in his days. Achashverosh is darshaning like shachor. Achashverosh chachorosh. He shuleik dera. Remember, they used to cook on a fire, so the bottom of their pots were black. The Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the great Rabbi Yochanan. We discussed the stories about Rabbi Yochanan, right? Rabbi Yochanan, the beautiful one, the Rabbi Yochanan with the long eyelashes, Rabbi Yochanan compiled the Jerusalem Talmud, the disciple of Rabbi Yanai. You guys know that already. So Rabbi Yochanan says, huh? Rav Rabbi Yochanan, Allahak Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Rabbi Yochanan, Allahak Rabbi Yochanan. Even though we said Rav Shmuel, Allahak Rabbi Surei, Rav Rabbi Yochanan, Allahak Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Kol shezochro, whoever would think of Achashverosh, Omer ach lerosho, Achashverosh, whoever thinks about that fool, he says, oh, it's like Obama in presidency. You tell yourself, oh boy, what did he do to the dollar? Oh boy, what did he do to the economy? What did he do to healthcare? What did he do to the military situation? You just start thinking about what that man's doing. And I don't like getting political, but you know, things are starting to explode around the world. It's a big problem. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. He was given a schus. He had some schus and shemaim to be up there. And the world is really in danger. I don't know if you guys know what's going on, but the world's...
You don't get outside this world.
Yeah. Good for you. That's the way it should be. Someone once asked Rabbi Feinstein, I'm in yeshiva, should I be reading a newspaper? He said, no way, you focus on your gemara. He says, Rabbi Feinstein, when he was in Russia, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, there was a world war. And the Germans were advancing. And anyone had to know, you know, it was a matter of life and death. Do we leave town or don't we leave town? So anytime word would come from the front, everyone would gather around the guy and ask him, where's the war holding him? What's going on? Rav Moshe was still learning in the Beis Medrash. So they asked him, why aren't you going out to hear the news? So he said, well, either it's true or it's not. If we have to run, everyone's going to say we have to run, and I'll know just like you know. And if it's a lie, so what do I have to waste my time for? So there's absolutely no reason to make up my head from the Gemara. I got to keep learning. So you guys are 100% right. There's no point in knowing the news. You're 100% right. And you're 100% right. This is a golden era in your lives. You could get Torah in its purest form. Your wife isn't asking you to change a diaper. She's not asking you to get groceries. You don't have to do anything but learn Torah. You're in Gan Eden, believe me. Adam HaRishon envies you. You have the Eitz Chaim. He was locked away from the Eitz Chaim. What?
All the news, all the real news are going down.
Right, this is where news happens. This is where news happens, right. No, what we just see. The Megillah, the Gemara is giving us perspective. You want to know what's happening in the Shushan times? What happened in Shushan? Why did the Jews go down? Go look back at how they were learning Torah. What did Gemara say? Ba'atzal Taim, they were lazy about learning Torah. So then, they made news happen. So we want to make news happen. Let's make news happen. Back to the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, what does it mean? Achashverosh, kol shezochro, whoever thought of him, Omar, ach l'rosho, hitze oi to his head. So the word ach could mean oi. That needs a little bit of work, right? Okay. Back to the Gemara. Rabbi Chanino Omar, shakol nasim nasu rashin b'yamav. Everyone became impoverished in his days. He raised the taxes. That's how the Megillah ends. Vayosem Hamelech Achashverosh Mas. The Megillah ends with the taxes Achashverosh made. So Achashverosh comes from the word Rash. He made everyone poor. He was a heavy taxer. Why is that so important? That was his claim to fame. The Megillah continues and says, "Hu Achashverosh." It says, it was in the days of Achashverosh. It is he, the famous Achashverosh, the infamous Achashverosh. Why does it say it is he to indicate who it is he in Berish? Oh, in his wickedness, cruel person, mitchilato v'atzofo, from beginning to end. Who? When it says who in the Torah, it says who Esav. Same thing. Who Berisho mitchilato v'atzofo. He in his wickedness from beginning to end. Who Dason v'Aviram hein Berishan mitchilatan v'asofam. These two brothers, Dason and Aviram, were wicked from start to finish. Who Hamelech Achaz. It is he, the king Achaz. You remember Achaz. You could remember him by his name, Achaz. He grabbed the doors of the Beit HaKnesset, sealed them shut, and said, I'm not letting Jewish children get Jewish education. That's the way to get the Jews away from Torah. It is he and his wickedness from beginning to end. Achaz, that's his name. He grabbed the doors. Avram hu Avraham. When the Pasuk says Avram, it is he, Avraham. Hu betzidko mitchilato v'atzofo. He and his righteousness from beginning to end. Hu Aaron hu Moshe. Hen betzidkan mitchilatan v'atzofan. They and their righteousness from beginning to end. That's our parsha this week. V'David hu akatan. David, he is the small one. Hu bekatnuto. He in his modest, humble, small ways, mitchilato v'atzofo, from beginning to end. Kishem shebekatnuto ektin et atzmo, just like when he was little, he'd make himself little, he'd be modest and humble. Etzem misha gadol mimena b'torah, whenever he was around someone who's bigger than him in Torah, kach b'malchuto, so too when he became king, ektin atzmo etzem misha gadol mimena b'chokhma, he'd minimize himself next to anyone who was bigger than him in wisdom. Yes, sir. Right, that's how Midrashim work.
It's not following any specific.
It is. It's explaining the word who. And when it says who, sometimes it's for good and sometimes it's for bad.
The point would be here to bring it and explain who.
Yes, but in all these cases it is superfluous. Look at the context and you'll see it's superfluous. You could have taken out those two words. You could have said, right? It says,
there's nothing intrinsic in the word.
No, I don't think so. All of these are extra if you look at the context. And each one gives us a different message. So this is phenomenal. You have David HaMelech. Kills thousands, he's a great warrior. God chose him to be the future of Israel for all time till Mashiach ben David. And yet when he's standing next to someone who's bigger than him in wisdom, he says, what do you have to say? I'm listening. He makes himself small. chief rabbi of Israel today, Sfardi chief rabbi, Rav Amar. If you'll see him when Rav Avadia Yosef is talking, you'll see him sitting like a little student, listening to every word Rav Avadia Yosef would say. Rav Herschel Schechter in the United States, if you'd visit Breuer's shul 30 years ago, you'd see at the end of the evening, the rabbi would get up, Rav Breuer would get up, and say 5 minutes worth of halacha. All the balabatim are wrapping up their tefillin, and he's teaching halacha. Rav Herschel Schechter is standing in the front and listening, catching every word. What does he have to say? That's the giants of the Jewish people. Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva University. The giants of the Jewish people, when they have someone big, they listen. What does he have to say? They don't take the back seat, they take the front seat. You gotta learn. Back to our Gemara. We're continuing. We said, the Pasuk says, he is Achashverosh HaMolech, who was king from Hodu to Kush. Amar Rav, notice we're going along the same lines all the time. Rav, Shmuel, etc. Rav says, HaMolech, who was king, Shemalach Matzmo. He became king on his own. What a politician. Omri lo l'shevach, v'omri lo l'gnai. Some say this is to his praise. Some say this is to his degradation. Omri lo l'shevach, those who say it's his praise. Do lo have enish t'choshev d'malka kavasei. No one was as important as him. He was a great politician. He was top of the line. V'omri lo l'gnai, some say it's to his degradation. Do lo have chazi l'malchuto. Really, he wasn't fit to be king. Umamona Yiseru Diyav, he just smeared his way up. He gave a lot of money, made it to the top. Vikom, and he was established as king. It says he was king, Mehodu Vead Kush, Rav Vishmuel. We have two opinions, we don't know who said what. Chad Omar, one of them said, Hodu Besofolom, Vikush Besofolom. Hodu and Kush are two edges of the globe, and he ruled from both edges of the globe. That's what it means. The Chad Omar and the other one was of the opinion, Hodu v'kush gabe adodi avikaimi. There are two states that are one next to the other, and just means, Keshem shemalach al Hodu v'kush, just as he ruled on these two states that were next to one another, it was easy to rule over both of them, kach malach misof olam v'atzofo. So too he ruled over the whole world, as though one was next to the other. And if you look historically, Achashverosh created the greatest infrastructure. It was Achashverosh who lay roads across the deserts so that his horses could go from one edge of the desert to the other. He didn't have to go by camel. He had horses running all over the world because he laid down infrastructure so that he could move troops back and forth. He was brilliant. That was one of his brilliant things, that he laid down infrastructure like never before and maybe never again. So that gave him great power and great control over his kingdom. He had horsemen running back and forth, and he'd have updates all the time what was going on all around the world. So this is a historical fact, as far as I know. This isn't the Gemara. The Gemara just says he ruled with an iron fist, and he was able to have full control over what was happening all over. So once upon a time, you know, every year we have different guys at Machon Meir. So once we had guys who I felt needed a historical backdrop to everything we learned. So I did a little bit of research. What was in Achshverosh's time? This is what I came up with. So at any rate, if that's true, if it really was that time, then it fits with this Gemara very well. By the same token we say, it says, Ki hu arodeh b'chol ever ha'nahar mitifsach v'ad Aza. He had control from Tifsach to Aza, all the other side of the Jordan. Guys, we'll go to the two dots. Yeah, I know we're over time. You guys have time or you want to pause here? Four more lines. Okay, it says, he ruled all the other side of the Jordan from Tifzach till Aza, all the other side of the river. Rav Shmuel, Chadamar Tifzach Sof Olam Ve'Aza Sof Olam. Same argument. Rav Shmuel, we don't know which one said what. One said Tifzach is at one edge of the world, Aza is on the other edge of the world. Chadamar Tifzach Ve'Aza Ba'Adeh Adadeh Ave'Kaima. And the other one says they were right next to one another. Keshem Shemanach Al Tifzach Ve'Al Aza. Just as he ruled on Tifzach and Aza, which were states that were right next to one another, Kach Malach Al Kol Olam Kulo. That's how he ruled over the whole world. It says Achashverosh ruled over Sheva Vesimu Me'amedina, 7 and 20 in 100 states. Amar Rav Chisda, the great Rav Chisda taught. Rav Chisda was the father-in-law of Rava. He was a Kohen. He had daughters and said, I like it that way. Better daughters. The Gemara says, is it better girls? Is it better boys? He says, better girls. He had a great son-in-law, Rava, who got mon every day. by the merits of his father-in-law, Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda, Rav Nachman Mibreslov writes, when it says Rav Chisda in the Talmud, sometimes it's an allusion to God. Rav Chisda, a lot of kindness. Oh, we got some chassidutim tonight. Oh. Okay, back to our Gemara. It's not bad. Hey, I quoted it. Back to the Gemara. So, Rav Chisda said, "Bitchila malach al sheva." Initially, he ruled over 7 states. Uvasof malach al eslim. Then he ruled over 20. Uvasof malach al mea. Then he ruled over 100. Notice that the word vasof does not mean the end. Just like the word acharon does not mean the end. In our parsha, it says, if they don't believe this first sign, they'll believe the sign that is acharon. And if they don't believe that sign, then they'll believe the sign that is acharon. So you have 2 acharons. That's why we say acharon, acharon, chaviv. Acharon doesn't necessarily mean the last, as we find here. And that's an important point philosophically, but not for now. Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sure, the Medrash says that. Rabbi Akiva saw his students were falling asleep. He said, guys, you're falling asleep? Why Rav Ahasuerus rule over 127 states? Because Esther came from Sarah, who lived 127 years. So they all looked at him and said, what's the connection, right? Ah, now you're away. Okay, there was a connection, but there is a connection. But not now. Back to 100%. You're right. There is a connection. There's a whole Medrash Rabbah on it. Look it up. Back to the Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda, b'tchila malach al sheva, ulvasof malach al esrim, ulvasof malach al mea. Elam atah, ushnechay amram, sheva, ushushim, umachana. What are you going to say? Anytime the years are broken down like that, by Amram it says, he lived 7 and 30 and 100 years. My darshit day, how are you going to darshan there? Shani acha dika yeterah, over here is different than there. Because here you have an extra pasuk. Mech diktiv moduvat kush. Take a look at this. Mechdi, analyze this. It says in the pasuk he ruled from Hodu till Kush. Sheva v'simu ma'am dina lamali. So why does the pasuk have to enumerate that it was 7 and 20 in 100 states? Go count how many are between Hodu and Kush. Shema min alid rasha. So from here we understand it's written, it is superfluous, it is there for the sake of a drasha, and we darshan it. So that's why here we darshan it. Let's conclude with an interesting point. What does the word halacha mean? Halacha means to walk. Halacha, we say every morning, a Sfardim. Do I have a friend who's a Sfardi here? No, Sfardim say, oh, it's a Sfardim say, I'm not a Sfardi either. Sfardim say, halichot olam lo, al tikri halichot, ela halachot. So we're going to hit that Gemara at the end of Megillah. It's a Gemara, towards the end. So the Aruch was a Rebbe of Rashi. Rashi used the work called the Aruch. The Aruch was written by Rabbi Natan, known as the Baal Aruch, the one who composed the Aruch. And he says, on that Gemara, halichot, halachot, he says the word halacha has 2 meanings. Either it is the way we walk, it is the path we walk on as Jews, or else halacha means it's something that's been coming down. Halacha is like it's been walking down the line of tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu. Like mahalach, something that's been passed down. It's been walking its way down, so to speak, from Moshe till here. Either halacha is what we are actively walking on, or halacha is what's from there. Now, why is this so important? Sometimes in Talmud you'll encounter the word hilchisa, or halacha. And Rashi automatically says, halacha Moshe Sinai. Now we understand how halacha in the Gemara could mean halacha l'moshe Sinai. Because if the word halacha intrinsically means, this is our way of life, and it's been brought down to us all the way from Moshe. Halechet v'kaima. It's been going and existent from Moshe till here. So then it's very obvious why the word halacha would indicate halacha Moshe Sinai also. Clear? Good. Laila Tov. Isn't there also...